This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership. Let's go aboard. Happy Tuesday to you, North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the 4-hour lunar eclipse limbo. DA with you from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Anchorage to Atlanta, Motown to Mobile, Kalamazoo and Waterloo. Hey, you're on the air.
They listening, D.A. Everything we saying, D.A. Everything.
And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need cash out of your home and a simple way to get it, Rocket can. How are we doing, everybody? Thanks so much for dropping on by. Tis a trash Tuesday, which means anything that might be bugging you, frustrating you, you feel like laying into this morning, we've got your platform. We feel here on the DA show, verbalizing your aggravation is the healthiest way to process it. And so we provide you that opportunity each and every week. Yes, we are a community service program. We'll do our trashes coming up on the show next hour, but that doesn't mean you have to wait. You can give us your trashes either on the phones or on the tweets, and I'll read through those throughout the morning, including hour number one. On the phone, that's 855-212-4227. Or on Twitter, you can follow me and tweet at me, DA on CBS. This morning on the show, former Ohio State Buckeyes national champion. He's joined us in the past before. He hosts a podcast about that Ohio State national championship season. Joshua Perry, he was so good. You might remember the last time he was on earlier in the football season, I said, dude, your future is really bright. You're really good at this. And he's going to join us again to talk college football coming up here on the show, hour number four. In hour number three, Pat Leonard, he covered the New York Giants for the New York Daily News. And the Giants, we couldn't imagine it'd become any more rock bottomy, but it has somehow, some way gotten more rock bottomy. We'll talk to Pat Leonard about what could be massive wholesale changes happening in Giants land soon enough, coming up in hour number three. Also this morning, the SEC punishes Tennessee. I pause there if you're only on radio because I used air quotes. Punish. Interesting definition of the word. The Chiefs seemed to get right on Sunday in Washington. What did we learn? At LSU, Ed Orgeron is out. So who is the Kingfisher? We'll do that coming up later on in this hour. And yesterday, Rob the 321 declared, I am no longer a Lions fan. Mraz declared him a fraud. Rob has shot back with a personalized video of proof. We will break down whether Rob proved that he's no fraud coming up next hour on the show as well. All of that this morning on the program. This is good. This is good eating this morning. We begin last night in Nashville, where the Buffalo Bills were coming off that thrashing of the Kansas City Chiefs a week ago. And they were then deemed the favorite in the AFC. Some had said the torch had been passed. The Tennessee Titans, on the other hand, they've been scuffling. They got embarrassed by the Arizona Cardinals in the opener. And this was a Titans team that, egads, lost to the Jets. In Nashville last night, tons of Bills fans showed up to party all week long because Nashville likes a party, and it's a great party if you've ever been there. And last night, the Bills found themselves in a hell of a tussle. Number one, because Derrick Henry is a man, it is very difficult to stop a moving locomotive. The Bills found that out yet again last night. And the Buffalo Bills continue to struggle inside the red zone. Derrick Henry had himself a night, and he put the Titans on his back. And it's just a wonder to watch a guy that big and that fast and that strong at the height of his powers. But late in this game, down three, the Bills drove deep into the Tennessee end, inside the 10-yard line. Ticks, 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 seconds dripping off of the clock. It gets to fourth down because Josh Allen is stopped trying to dive for the first down with 30 seconds to play. And in this case, Sean McDermott can kick the chip shot field goal and move to overtime. But instead, he decides to go for it on fourth and short. Coming out of last night's game, was that the right decision? And what did this victory tell us about the Titans? It is where we begin. Your cold open.
Tannehill gives Henry on the left side to the 10, to the 5, to the end zone. Touchdown, Titans. Three times for Derrick Henry for the second straight game.
Allen rolling to the 5. Allen leaping in the air for the first down yardage. He's brought down near the 2. Tackle by Amani Hooker, who is still down on the turf.
Allen under center. Sneaking.
No,
I don't know.
He did not make that.
I do not know. Let's see where they spot it.
He did not make that.
The Titans think they have stopped it. Let's wait. Allen tried to sneak. He got nothing, or so it appeared.
He got it! They got it! They did it! They did it!
Just trying to find a window to get in there, and quarterback sneaks aren't the funnest play by any means. I got to find a way to get a first down there, you know, so it happens.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes.
It's your cold open.
Those play-by-play calls courtesy of the Titans Radio Network and Kevin Kugler on Westwood One. That is Josh Allen after his fourth and short was stopped. Okay, so let's dissect all of this. Number one, I can see the argument for the Bills going for it on fourth down. I would not have. I think the Bills had moved the football relatively easily all night long, except in the red zone. And to me, if I'm on the sideline, I'm Sean McDermott, I kick the field goal, I go to overtime, I take my chances there. I feel like I'm the better football team. I feel like I'm the number one seed of the AFC. And so ultimately, my logic, my rationale is the longer this game goes, the better chance I have to win it. I'm the better football team. I'm moving the football really well between the 20s. There's a host of weapons Josh Allen's been using all night long. I haven't been good inside the red zone. You know what? We kick a field goal and let's see OT here. That's what I would have done. The argument for going for it there, I understand it. It is, look, we're a yard away from being able to get a new set of downs and punch it into the end zone and win right here. We don't have to play defense again. We don't have to tackle Derrick Henry again. We're within the 10-yard line. If we pick up a yard, I get a fresh set of downs and a number of plays to punch it in and win and get out of Dodge. And Josh Allen has been historically great on the quarterback sneak. In terms of efficiency on the quarterback sneak, no one has been better in the NFL since he got into the league in 2018. So, McDermott, betting on his guys, this is my guys, this is my offensive line, this is my quarterback, and they do this often, I'm betting on them. I get it. I wouldn't have done it, but I can make that argument. I can see that argument. Here's the real issue of the Bills' loss last night, is that in 29 trips to the red zone this year, they've scored 16 touchdowns. 16. That's just a little over half, 55%. They have more trips to the red zone than anybody else in football, and they are a bottom six team in conversions. And it bit them again last night, where they had multiple red zone trips and had to settle for field goals. And on the last one, they didn't get anything, obviously. That's the issue. On that second to final play where Josh Allen rolls left and dives skies trying to get the first down, it's an admirable effort. It's an admirable effort by Josh Allen. He does not fear going up high. I'm not sure that's the smartest decision, but the guy's gritty, the guy's gutty, the guy's a gamer. And he had himself another really good game last night in a big spot. But credit the Titans defense. And here's where I want to go with what we learned for the Titans. The Titans are just so physical. The Titans leave you black and blue. And the Titans at the end of the season are going to have a say in this postseason. You look at trying to stop Derrick Henry. You look at trying to tackle those big wide receivers, those strong wide receivers, Brown, Jones, etc. You look at trying to defend the entire field from the Titans. And then defensively, I know they have taken their fair share of criticism, and rightfully so. But last night, they desperately wanted this win. And on that final series, tackling Josh Allen as a swarm tackling unit just shy of that first down, and then getting the stop. I think most of the stop was that the turf kind of gave out underneath Josh Allen. Allen did not get his traction. His feet slip. He does not get to the line of scrimmage. I'm not sure how much of that is Titans defense. But, you know, you come into this game, and Buffalo is the one seed of the AFC, and the Titans have lost to the Jets. You end the game, they've got the same record, and the Titans now have the head-to-head tiebreaker. They're both 4-2. It's the Ravens who are 5-1. And these two teams are tied with a bunch of other teams of the AFC at 4-2. And again, the Titans now have the head-to-head tiebreaker over the Bills. So in terms of this crazy race for top seeding in the AFC, this one's a big one. And I credit the Titans. They're just built in Mike Vrabel's mode. They just look like Mike Vrabel by and large. You know, in this case, you try to stop Derrick Henry. You go ahead and stand in front of that guy. Because I'm watching last night's game, and I'm thinking to myself, there's just never been anybody that tall, that strong, and that fast in the NFL's history at running back. He is one of one. A number of people have brought up Bo Jackson to me on social media last night when I made this observation. And look, I love me some Bo. But Bo was 2 inches shorter and 20 to 30 pounds lighter, given what point in his career it was in Derrick Henry. I mean, Derrick Henry's nearly 250. He's 6'3", nearly 250, flying downfield on that 76-yarder that was the fastest any running back had run in the NFL this season. He trucked up to nearly 22 miles per hour at his peak. I mean, it was insane. And Bo was 2 inches shorter and give or take 20 pounds lighter. I mean, you go ahead and try to tackle that. Every time he got ahead of steam, I'm like, how can you stick your nose in there? Tackling Derrick Henry this morning must feel like jumping off a ladder into a gravel pit if you're a Titans defender. How do you do that? Or a Bills defender, rather. How do you possibly do that? Titans have guts. They do. And they're going to be there at the end, which is the reason why the Wizard of Odds chose them on the over and the win total this year before the season at 9. 4-2 right now, and the Titans somehow have lost to the Jets and still have their nose right into the number one seed race in the AFC. If you want to jump in on last night's Monday Nighter, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227, or on Twitter, DA on CBS. Again, DA on CBS. Boy, we've got a lot to get to this morning. We've got Soundcheck coming up here next, okay? So we got this to get to. As Ed Ogeron explains what life is going to be like after coaching now, Baker Mayfield is not feeling so hot with his left shoulder, and Dusty Baker's got reasons / excuses for last night's Game 3 demolition at the hands of the Red Sox. That's straight ahead. I want to get to your trashes as well on the phones. I've already given you that phone number, so use it. Let's get to your calls as well coming up here next on a Trash Tuesday, DA, CBS Sports Radio.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
The DA Show is available on your phone. Stream us using the CBS Sports app or the Odyssey app. The CBS Sports app comes with great coverage of sports in general, including matchups and scores and live news, breaking news, and also the DA Show and CBS Sports Radio in the Listen Live tab. Or on the Odyssey app, you can pause and rewind and fast forward live radio as well. Let's do sound check here, your best audio of the day. That's what voice guy tells us to do. Let's start with Astros manager Dusty Baker after the Red Sox put it on the Astros last night at Fenway Park to take a 2-1 series lead.
The grass looks thick, but it plays very quick. And the ball bounced up on him. I mean, that was a tough play. I know we used to seeing him make those plays, but that was a tough play. And, you know, think the ball's bouncing right for them. It's not bouncing right for us.
Oh, my. That was Dusty Baker talking about a second inning error by Jose Altuve. And isn't that just kind of perfect? Because Dusty Baker kind of strikes you as like a jazz musician in like a jazz lounge somewhere with that toothpick and those sunglasses and just like making rhymes up, and they all sound so cool. Everything he says sounds so cool. Can we play the beginning of that once again, Pete, just to get the melodic tones and the poetic, you know, essence of Dusty Baker?
The grass looks thick, but it plays very quick. And the ball bounced up on him. I mean, that was a tough play. I know we used to seeing him make those plays, but that was a tough play. And, you know, think the ball's bouncing right for them. It's not bouncing right for us.
Grass looks thick, but it plays very quick. We'll be here all night. Dusty Baker's jam band. You know, Mraz better watch out because his Yankees are home for the holidays yet again. And the Red Sox are cruising into yet another World Series. They're halfway there with a 2-1 series lead. And Red Sox Nation's going to be undressing you, Mraz, all over you yet again, because since the Yankees won their 2009 World Series, the Red Sox have been to multiple World Series, claimed multiple World Series titles, and Andrew Kaplan, the Wizard of Watch DA, a noted Red Sox honk, is not going to let you live that down.
Baseball season does not count, DA, until the Yankees are good again. That's the way we're going to go with this.
What do you mean it does not count?
It doesn't count. If the Red Sox are only participating and the Yankees can't get past, we're not acknowledging baseball season anymore. That's what we do here.
So you get to just choose whether or not the baseball season happened.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We do not count Red Sox years anymore. I refuse to acknowledge them.
A refusal to acknowledge an entire franchise and their multiple World Series titles.
I got several tweets on Kyle Schwarber last night. Will not acknowledge him. Didn't happen. It's all a fantasy land. It's all a dream.
Okay. Here's Baker Mayfield, quarterback, Cleveland Browns, after another loss, this time to the Arizona Cardinals on Sunday, as a dislocated left shoulder. Here's Baker.
Your arm's in a sling. How bad is it?
Feels like
worse than the first time?
Probably. You know what? I'm going to get MRIs and stuff tomorrow, so we'll be able to find out more.
Do you have a sense if you'll be able to keep playing through this, Baker?
I do.
You will be able to keep playing through it?
Yes.
Baker Mayfield's a tough dude, okay? So it's hard to imagine that Baker's not going to be out there no matter what, but he got his MRI results yesterday and didn't like what he got. And so Cleveland.com is reporting Mayfield seeking a second opinion. Remember, the Browns play the Broncos on Thursday night, which means if Baker's not ready to go, the immortal Case Keenum is under center for the Browns. Cleveland has slid to 3-3. And so we'll see if Baker gets the decision that he likes, or the announcement, the diagnosis that he likes. But it's probably that they're worried that he can further injure it unless he takes a number of weeks off. And he doesn't want to in the middle of this season, where the Browns desperately need all the firepower they can get, because they've had a very disappointing first month and a half of the season. They've got elite talent on both sides of the football. It has not come together like it did last year. Kevin Stefanski hasn't nearly had the magic touch. Mayfield has been embattled, under fire for not doing more, and not doing more late in game situations. And now he's got a dislocated left shoulder. And he's also looking for a big-time contract extension. This is not a good combination for the Browns right now. And finally, Ed Ogeron is going to be bought out slash fired by the end of the season. He will round out the year as head coach at LSU. But after that, who knows? Hey, Ed, what kind of food are you going to be enjoying after the year?
I'm 60 years old, of course, for 37 years. I think I'm going to have enough money to buy me a hamburger, and every once in a while, maybe a double meat cheeseburger, a Sonic. But I want to take a little time off to find out what direction I want to be in. You asked me if I think today I'm not going to coach, but that might be different a month from now, but right now I want to take a little time off, spend with my kids.
I don't think that Ed Ogeron is going to retire for good from coaching. I think he's going to get another coaching gig, probably at a lower level. You could easily see him slipping into a very comfortable role in a group of five, lower conference. You know, Ed Ogeron of the Sun Belt feels right on. Or he could be an assistant coach, a lead recruiter at a big-time conference, in a big-time conference, and a big-time contender. I mean, Ed Ogeron has always been an elite recruiter, and he has a national championship. So this doesn't have to be his last stop if he doesn't want it to be his last stop. But he's going to have plenty of money to not have to coach. I just think that football means so much to Ed Ogeron. It's who he is. It's his essence. He's really great at recruiting. And there's a big market and a lot of money to be had if you're a great recruiter. So I think Ed Ogeron certainly has life after LSU. And I'm going to tell him right here, he can afford a lot of double meat. There's going to be a lot of double meat cheeseburgers in his life if he wants them. I know he's a ham sandwich guy, but he just cited the double meat cheeseburger. I'm not sure how much more, Merez, how much more is a double meat cheeseburger at McDonald's than just a single patty? And will he be able to afford it?
I think he'll be able to afford it, yeah. I think we're only talking about $1, $1.25 tops to add that extra patty.
A dollar maybe for the extra patty?
Yeah, for when you go from quarter pounder to double quarter pounder with cheese, I think in all reality, you're maybe going from a $3 burger to a $4, $4.50 burger. That's not a big jump. Most people could do that.
Oh, I don't think at McDonald's a two patty cheeseburger, a double meat cheeseburger is $4.50.
Well, the quarter pounder might be, and it depends on the market. There's inflation in different parts of the world. If you're talking about just the original double cheeseburger where the burger's already a dollar, I think you might be talking about $1.50 for the double cheeseburger, but that's a very small patty, D.A.
So,
you know, that's not going to fill
at all. They shouldn't even want to serve you. Say, you're the one gave us them six stacks. We don't want to give you. We ain't got no more food.
So you're telling me a quarter pounder with cheese, just the sandwich, just the burger, not the fries, not the soda, could run me $4.50 if I add a second patty?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it could. I think you're looking at $4.50, and I think you're looking at a $9 meal total with the fries and the drink. Sure.
Where have I? Are you serious? A double meat quarter pounder with cheese meals, $9 these days?
About $8.59. Absolutely. Absolutely it is. And believe me, I spent many a times at that drive through the last couple weeks stress eating.
Have you ever ordered the double meat?
Yes. I mean, come on, DA, have you seen me?
So you've tailored a sandwich with a second piece of meat on it.
Yeah. Now, oftentimes, I'll be honest with you, I'll go away from adding the second patty and instead just make sure I load up an extra dollar menu items and go single patty, too. You know what I mean? Like, if I go a single quarter pounder with cheese meal, I'm going to follow that up with a four-piece nugget and then maybe another regular McDonald's cheeseburger instead of just, you know, glorifying the original meal by adding the patty. So it depends what kind of mood I'm in.
I see. It is a Trash Tuesday, so hit us up on the phone at 855-212-4227 or on Twitter, DA on CBS. Elvis is in Alabama for a Trash Tuesday this morning. Elvis, good morning.
What's going on, DA? Hey, man, I love the show. And I'm
Thank you,
completely
sir.
Down with you. I'm completely down with your love affair with Boise. I've been there once and loved
it. Oh, yeah?
It's really cool.
Yeah,
all
it's
right,
really
so
awesome.
My trash is this.
Yes.
Mraz, before I get started, congratulations on your new baby. Having said that, I got to trash you, dude. I got to wonder, who decided that you were the kingpin and the decider, the final arbiter of fandom? And, you know, you guys can help him out with arbiter. I'm sure he probably doesn't know what that means. But, dude, you're like 35 years old. Dude, I got cargo shorts older than you. I've been watching sports since decades before you were even alive. I have forgotten more about sports than you will ever know. And if the dude, Rob, from the 3-2-1 wants to bail out on the Lions, that's his choice, man. He can do that. And I'm a little sympathetic towards him because I've done sort of the same thing with my college team, which is the Georgia Bulldogs, because I didn't go to Georgia. I grew up in Georgia and was a huge Bulldogs fan. I'm still a fan, but not as huge, because my school, University of South Alabama, we now have football. We have a new stadium. It's 20 minutes from my house. So I'm all in on South Alabama. So I've kind of backed off Georgia Bulldogs. But, hey, man, if Rob wants to bail on the Lions, God knows he's got plenty of reason to. He's more than a man than I am for sticking with him as long as he did. Trash Mraz, you're out, man.
Trash him!
This must be garbage time.
Thank you, Elvis in Alabama. In fact, later on in the show, next hour, Rob has recorded his response video. He has an answer to Mraz, who called him a fraud yesterday. Mraz, take that. Number one, Elvis is cargo shorts, older than you. Number two, he's forgotten more about sports than you'll ever know.
Yeah,
so
okay.
Eat it, big guy.
Yeah, all right. I'd love to see Elvis in a sports IQ competition. I'd blow him out of the water, forgotten more sports. Second of all, yeah, if you own cargo shorts, they probably are older than me because they've been out for a long time. Go watch South Alabama football. Leave me alone.
Yeah, but he's got a good point here. I mean, he was a Georgia fan, but now his alma mater has a football team, so he puts Georgia on the back burner, and now he's all about his school.
Well, see, I do think that's a little different because it's a school that you're affiliated with. It's complete. Like, you actually, I don't attend New York Yankees University. You didn't do that.
Some would say.
Yeah, I'm just saying it's a little different when you involve colleges that you were actually a part of, that you went to classes with. It's different than a professional sports level. And also, yeah, great. I would hope that you would like the team 20 minutes from you. There's nothing worse than having a team 20 minutes from you and then being a fan of somebody else just because, you know, whatever, like Pete's dad being a Viking fan. I mean, come on.
No, Elvis grew up in Georgia. That's a totally valid reason to root for the Bulldogs.
No, I understand it, but now he says he lives 20 minutes from South Alabama's campus and went there. So
yes,
that's fine.
That's his alma mater.
Yeah. Yeah, so he went there, he went to college. That creates that in his blood, and now he lives 20 minutes from the campus. That's a little different than just, you know, turning your back on whatever team because you feel like.
He left the building.
Rob in the 3-2-1 is going to have his response, which we will play on the show next hour.
And by the way, Rob in a 3-2-1 gets exactly what he was looking for.
Grant is in Canada this morning, and he's loving up his Cowboys after the victory at Gillette Stadium on Sunday. Grant, good morning.
Morning. How's it going in New York this morning?
Very well. How's it going in Canada? Where in Canada are you?
Well, I'm just north of Calgary, Alberta.
Okay, you're up there.
Yeah, we're up there. We're Stampeder fans up here, but the Stampeders are sort of like the Cowboys, you know, similar to Cowboys. When I saw, Zach Prescott break his leg last year, I almost gave up watching football. I sort of lost my... it looked like... it didn't look good, right?
No, it did not. It was ugly.
I'm all the way back to Tony's Dorsett era and Tom Landry walking down the sidelines era. So the Cowboys are America's team, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and I guess they're Canada's team, or at least North of Calgary's team, too, for you.
Well, we got. I don't know if you've ever heard of Bodie Mitchell, but he tried to go to the NFL. He can throw the ball, but he's having some problems with his leg right now. Other than that, he's a gunslinger. Like, he's an outlaw.
What's his name?
He'd be good. Bo Levi Mitchell.
Bo Levi Mitchell.
They call him Bo Levi.
Bo Levi Mitchell, huh? Yeah, I got to look him up. I got to see some of this guy's highlights. Who did he play for?
Well, this plays for the Calgary Stampeders.
Okay.
Yeah, and this guy can throw the ball. He can throw the damn ball. They just set him back in the shotgun, and he throws.
Okay.
The one play he made against the BC Lions this last weekend, he was so pissed off he was going to punch out the receiver. That's how intense he is.
I like this guy.
Well, what happened is you're supposed to throw the ball in the middle of the end zone, right? The receiver's supposed to go to the middle of the end zone.
Right.
So the receiver didn't go, and the ball bounced, and he was running at him. They had to hold him back.
Okay.
But the Cowboys are my team.
Okay.
Hopefully we'll see them in the playoffs.
Uh-huh. I think we will.
And you guys... Boise is nice. I've been to Washington State is in Idaho and in there.
No. All right. Well, I guess we're going to let you go here, Grant. Thanks so much for the phone call. We thought that Grant probably was a few Labatt's in, which is why we put him on the show. Wanted to make sure we got him in, and by the end of that call, he certainly seemed to be. He used an interesting phrase to describe why the Calgary Flames aren't a contender this year.
Oh, Canada.
By the way, I just want to let you know, as much as I love Boise, it's not a prerequisite to say how much you love Boise when you call up the show. It's like, you're right. Boise is really nice. Let me get on to my take now. You don't have to do that. As much as we love Boise around here, It's not necessary.
First time, long time. I love Boise.
Yeah. Yeah, don't worry. We know. We all love it.
I also love that you're so far north in Calgary that the top of Boise is the panhandle to you, not Florida.
All right, a kind Sir Andrew Bogish has our headline this morning. Monday Night Football is a thriller and a demolition in the ALCS. Mr. Bogues, where do we begin?
And I can't believe that Grant stole my lead about the Bills' red zone defense or offense. The Titans in position, DA, to make that fourth down stop in the final seconds last night because of Derrick Henry. His third TD of the game gave his team the final lead of Monday Night Football. It's back-to-back three touchdown games for Henry and his fifth consecutive 100-yard game, 143 to be exact on 20 carries. Like a good running back, Henry giving the love to the guys with weird waists that block for him.
All the credit goes to them. I just got to go do my job. They make my job easy. So, you know, this guy's just having the will, you know, to, you know, want to be better each and every play, each and every week, and, you know, just that mentality.
Henry's running and that late defense got the Titans a 34-31 victory over the Bills. Both teams now 4-2 with Buffalo's four-game win streak ending in defeat. Josh Allen threw for 353 yards and three scores and caught a two-point conversion. Jimmy Garoppolo on the field. Trey Lance was not when the Niners returned to the field from their bye yesterday. Garoppolo and his calf apparently looked good. Lance is dealing with a knee injury. We just heard Dusty Baker. Jose Altuve's second inning error was just the beginning of the Astros' troubles last night at Fenway.
Kicks and he delivers. Swing. There's a long drive to right field. Deep toward the grandstand. Tucker looking up. It is gone into the grandstand. Grand slam, Kyle Schwarber. 6-0 Red Sox. Can you believe it?
Joe Castiglione on Red Sox Radio. 6-0 Boston at that point. 12-3 in the end for a 2-1 lead on those Stros in the ALCS. The Sox, imaginary or not, the first team ever to hit three grand slams in one playoff series. All right. Game four tonight at Fenway after the Braves go for a 3-0 lead on the Dodgers in L.A. Washington State football coach Nick Rolovich and multiple assistants fired yesterday because they did not get the COVID vaccine. All Washington State employees had until yesterday to do so. On ice last night, the Rangers won in Toronto 2-1. The Ducks won in Calgary 3-2. Both of those games in OT. D.A., back to you.
Thank you very much, Bogues. And, of course, the Wizard of Watch DA, Andrew Kaplan, has already dug up Bo Levi Mitchell highlights for us. And the kid looks really good, Eastern Washington product. He's already won a couple of Grey Cups. He's got a really good win-loss record, good touchdown INT ratio. So maybe he is the heir apparent to Daniel Jones once Jones washes out with the Giants. When we come back here on the show, who is the front runner to take the LSU job after the season? And would a certain Jimbo want it? DA, CBS Sports Radio. Well,
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Well, it's a Trash Tuesday. Hit us up with your trashes by tweeting at me, DA on CBS. Again, that's DA on CBS. Or on the phones at 855-212-4227. Amos tweets, I'm trashing the Tennessee students who threw projectiles onto the field, particularly the south end zone. Aren't they aware Smokey the dog resides there? Hashtag get him out.
That will contribute to the microplastics in the bottom of the ocean.
Yeah, those students and every fan that threw anything onto the field at Tennessee on Saturday night deserves to get trashed, both literally and figuratively, trashed here on the air, and then also trashed by their brethren and have their own trash dumped on them that they threw onto the field. I'm all about booing. I'm all about, you know, showing your frustration in verbal form as long as it's not classless or vulgar. But once you start throwing trash under the field, obviously it's indefensible. And we'll talk more about this later on in the show. But the biggest problem there that I saw was you had a number of ridiculously bad behavior students/fans that had nobody immediately run up and go, no, you're out of here. You know, they were given so much leeway by lack of security in the building that they could just keep tossing things onto the field for 20 minutes and nobody was kicking them out. I mean, you got 102,000 people inside the stadium and hated Lane Kiffin coming back. Guess what? You might need some added security. If somebody throws a golf ball or throws a bottle, run up on them immediately and get them out. Throw them out of the stadium. Now, there's no excuse. I'm not saying that because there was no security, those kids, you know, were going to do that. But it was a day of getting liquored up and bad behavior was happening at the end of this game. And the sin of it is that Tennessee has had a wonderful season at this point in time, played their guts out of this game, and unfortunately it's marred because, you know, a couple of hundred idiots threw stuff onto the football field. In the SEC, who's the favorite to get this LSU job now? Here's what Vegas is saying. Right now, the odds have it that Lane Kiffin, the guy who had that trash thrown at him, is a 5-2 favorite to get the LSU job. Cincinnati's Luke Fickell is 11-2. Billy Napier with the Ragin' Cajuns in state is 7-1. And Jimbo Fisher is the fourth best odds at 15-2. Other names on that list: Bill O'Brien, Mark Stoops, Bob Stoops, James Franklin, Joe Brady, Mel Tucker, Dave Aranda, Urban Meyer, and 100-1, John Gruden. Now, here's why Jimbo Fisher's fourth. It's not that there's not a good way to figure out how these two connect. Jimbo Fisher was hired at A&M by the AD at LSU. And Jimbo Fisher is basically no dollars for a buyout. You don't have to buy him out. You just have to spend more money than A&M does, which is about $9 million in change per season. The reason that Jimbo Fisher might not leave A&M is that A&M gave him $7.5 million a year, and before he really accomplished much, gave him $9 million a year earlier this season, and now he's beaten Alabama. Is Jimbo Fisher going to jump within his own division to a conference rival without A&M matching that cost? Now, if you want to argue it's easier to win a national championship at LSU than at A&M, I'd listen to that. I'd buy that, because at LSU, you don't have another in-state power conference school. You know, at Texas A&M, you've got Texas, and for whatever it's worth, you've got TCU, and you've got Texas Tech, and you've got Baylor. You've got other power conference Texas schools that you've got to vie for talent with. And now Houston's coming to the Big 12. At LSU, it's only LSU in the state of Louisiana. There's amazing talent in the state of Louisiana. And basically, as long as you keep that train on the tracks, you'll probably win a national championship, because Les Miles and Ed Orgeron did. But can you outspend Texas A&M? And is Jimbo Fisher happy at A&M versus jumping to LSU? That's the question, which is why he's number four overall. I think there's going to be a major push by LSU to get him. I'm not sure it's going to work. When we come back on the DA show, the Chiefs got right.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too.
Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.